Our next speaker is Esther Hogeveen van Eckelt. And hopefully I didn't massacre that too much.
Hello, everybody. Can you hear it in the back? Yes, I think so. Well, thanks a lot for inviting me and also my colleague Abe Cesar. Actually, it's my first time really being here in America, and well, I call myself now a global plant specialist because I have done some work here in America on finding recipes with LEDs for crops here. But now I'm very happy that my colleague Abe is really focusing in this region on finding those recipes, because I think that it's really important to really find the solutions in the area where you're really growing the plants, because all the different circumstances are having a great effect on the solutions that you're offering. But I will give some examples today about what we do in other regions, mainly in Europe, but also some examples in Asia. Contents a little bit about the value of recipes, but I think that with all the talks we've had so far, that value is already quite clear for everybody. And I want to show you a little bit about what we did the last years to develop solutions for tomato production, and how we are now moving ahead with finding solutions for actually almost all crops in the greenhouse where you can use top lighting, LED top lighting. And I will come to some conclusions. And maybe one thing to explain Philips. Philips has been active in this area of lighting and horticulture already for, I don't know, maybe 20 years. But this last 7 years we are really developing in LEDs. And by starting development in LEDs, we also started to focus more on the plant knowledge side. So previously we didn't have a team of plant specialists, but now we are having a team of around six plant specialists. And that number is increasing still. Well, if we talk about a light recipe, we say that's an instruction of the complete light composition that realizes a desired crop or business result. Well, because if you look to light, you have a lot of characteristics that are influencing your crop growth and development. You can look to the intensity of light, the light sum over time, the moment of lighting on the day, the day length period, of course the spectrum, but also the direction of the light and the light distribution over the plant. All of those aspects are influencing your crop result. So if we want to find a solution for growers that they can actually really use, we have to give some advice on all those characteristics. And if you talk about using a light system, buying a light system, then of course you want to have the costs and the benefits in balance. And the costs of a light system are the investment, but of course also the energy costs. And you have to balance that with the benefits. And those benefits, you buy light because you want to have extra growth, or you want to have more compact plants, or you want to have faster flowering. That is where you have to focus your light recipe on. What should the light do? And that's where our team of plant specialists is also focusing on. If we look to all the segments that are present, maybe this is even not this is not a full overview. But for now, I will focus mostly on to tell you about using interlighting in tomato production, and what we can do with top light in the greenhouse. the other segments, some of it Abbe will talk later on about it. Well, for tomato, if you look to tomato growers, then for them it's important to get winter production, to get more efficient production. And we were thinking, how can we use light to make their way of producing better, more efficient, and giving them more more production or more quality? Well, if you look to the characteristics of LEDs, then you can use several of those characteristics to make a more optimal light recipe for tomatoes. We can use the spectrum to choose the most efficient wavelength. The fact that they don't emit any heat, that is something you can use. You can bring the light closer to the plant. So if we bring the light closer to the plant, we can even bring it within the crop. And by bringing it within the crop, you have some heat and some heat within the crop, and that gives a better distribution of heat over the whole crop. So you have less heat in the top, what you normally get with high-pressure sodium light. Now you spread that better. So heat and light is more in balance. And by bringing light in the crop, you also limit your light losses. So if you place it on the top, you will have light losses on the ground, on the path, but also reflections of the first layers of leaves they reflect, and the light goes outside of the greenhouse. That is also loss. So these are all benefits that are that LEDs can do if you place them within the crop. And this last one is also important. If you place the light in the crop where the older leaves are, you can actually keep the photosynthesis activity higher than normal. So normally older leaves are getting less and less light, and they are getting less and less active in their photosynthesis. And by placing light within the crop, you can keep that activity in a higher level, and that is shown in this graph. But of course, these were ideas, and by doing all kinds of tests together with universities, together with growers, we developed the real recipe with all the aspects. Because the principle of bringing it within the crop, okay, that is nice, but you have to know how much light should you put in a crop, in what position should it be, what is the real spectral, the optimal spectrum to be used, how are different cultivars reacting to this way of lighting, and how to make a good lighting system that is in economic that's an economic solution for the grower, that doesn't cost too much and that is efficient. So you see here we did several steps, several years of development, and that finally in 2011 I think we had the first real rollout on a commercial scale in a greenhouse. This is in a Ukrainian greenhouse. But also then Holland, the UK, Finland, Japan, Latvia, France, and also here in Canada and Northern America region, you see that it's being followed up. And what is nice is that so we are getting beyond the testing stage, and we are entering the optimizing stage. So if you are in a commercial application, then it's not about is it giving me the percentage of increase that I wanted to see. No, it's about optimizing, getting really the most out of your installation. And we as Philips pay a lot of attention to the first phase of finding out the effects of light on the crop. But also in supporting the grower when he has the product and the solution to optimize his results every year. And that, is quite successful for sure for the tomato interlighting part. I think I've mentioned this. But if we look to what the growers are achieving, for instance, the grower here, this Dutch grower, he started in 2012. In the first season, he used a certain plant density scheme. With that, he could reach his target. And the target we at the start of the project, we defined that based upon all the benefits that we expect from the interlighting light. And the target was reached. But at the end of the year, he said, it's nice that we reached this total amount of kilos, but we want to achieve more kilos in the winter time. And we have ideas how to do that. We will go much earlier to higher plant densities, and we think we've seen now that the LEDs, they can handle that, so we want to try that. They did that, and they had their target that they wanted to reach in week 18, 5 kilos more than they did the year before. And in the second year, so last year, they realized this target. And what I want to say with that is that, yeah, you can really optimize even you can really optimize your results if you're just learning from the system that you have. Also, this grower, Wim Peters, he bought an installation of 3 hectares last year, and this year he decided to invest in another 3 hectares in another part of the greenhouse. So that also proves that the first year results were already positive for him and making it possible to do another investment. Let's skip it for now, I think. This is actually something Abe could also have told you, but in this field of interlighting in high wire vegetables, there will be in Canada mainly, there will be a program of trials where 6 companies are doing work on also finding the recipe in for this climate, for this region, and they will get also the support from us and to really optimize the results here. And I think also for the mini cucumbers we have some experience, and it's different again. It's not you cannot copy it from one region or from one crop to the other. But we're going further. Also for tomatoes, we are now also looking to go to complete LED use in the greenhouse. So no use of high-pressure sodium in the top anymore, but completely LED in the top and LED in between. In several places, we do tests to find out again the best combination of top and interlight, the type of benefits that you can get by using the system. So how much electricity saving does it give? Is the plant using it more efficiently than the high pressure sodium light? So, can you get a higher grams production per mole of light that you give? Are there benefits of using the light more than you can normally do with high-pressure sodium? This is something that we are also optimizing. And especially in... I will come back to that, sorry. And next to production, of course, quality is also an important factor. And for tomatoes, we are looking on the effects of light on the vitamin contents, so especially vitamin C, but also combined with taste, because it's nice if you have higher nutritional value, but if the taste isn't good, people won't buy it. But it's nice to see that the light can really influence the vitamin levels. But it's a challenge to get a real practical solution to, yeah, to get this always in your greenhouse. We are also looking at new growing systems. So for instance, here in Japan, they are looking to high density high density crops, but only producing a couple of trusses. Oh, 5 minutes. I'm sorry. So that type of when you adapt your growing system, also your light recipe will is needed to be changed. Another thing is you can also use light to induce resistance in resistance to certain diseases. So in that way, we cooperate with universities to look a little bit further than only producing in getting higher productions. Already mentioned a little new since last year. We are now really also entering the normal, normal top lighting in the greenhouse. Previously, the balance between costs, energy efficiency, and the benefits that you expect was not good enough yet, and we think that now is the time that it is that you can use it in a good way. Well, all the benefits, I think, are quite clear. And we see that actually everywhere you can use it. It has benefits to use it in existing greenhouses, which might be too low to use high pressure sodium for this moment. But of course, also in new greenhouses, you can use it. You can use it also together with high pressure sodium, or only the LED. This is one remark. Currently, we don't have yet UL approval on these top lighting modules. We are working on that, so we are this year trying. We will be trialing some projects here in America, and you can contact my colleague Abe for details on that. Very shortly, some examples of how in Europe with these stop lights we already realized some nice recipes. This is a project van der Haag, who installed on 7,000 square meters a combination of top lighting and high pressure sodium. And he did that in the last stage of his potted rose production, because there he wants to improve the quality, so more compact plants, more intense colors. And that all he wanted to do in his current energy situation. So this is a newly built part of the greenhouse, but he only had a certain amount of energy available, and by using the LEDs he could go to higher light level for the same amount of energy. If you look to Phalaenopsis, completely different type of pot plant, and here you can also see the different growth stages and optimize your recipe for the growth stage. This is an example of the cooling stage of the crop. And interesting here was that we also measured the photosynthesis activity during the day, and we compared it with high pressure sodium, the normal greenhouse situation. And you see that, actually what the previous speakers were also telling, I don't know if it's completely comparable, but the LED could keep up the photosynthesis level much longer during the day. So normally during the day it will decrease, and with LEDs you could stay up to a higher level. Now it's the task to make that really into the benefits for the grower, because photosynthesis is one, but of course he wants to have nice flowering plants. Well, that actually we could also achieve some more flower buds, and of course saving on the energy. But still, this also continues, and also for the other phases, we want to optimize the recipe. I think this is the last example. Well, also mentioned already today, for the leafy greens, there are a lot of benefits for LEDs because you can grow them more more compact and more intense colored. And another benefit, what we saw in this trial in Belgium, is, I don't know if it's very clear to see, often in lettuce crops you have a tip burn, and this is a problem we see in this trial at least, and I think more it has been seen more that in high pressure sodium crops this is really a big problem, and with LEDs you can minimize that. So all in all, yeah, I think what we want to show here today is that we want to make the bridge, use the knowledge that is there from the scientific world, but also combine it with all the experiences that are there in practice, and make sure that you get the right recipe for each grower in each situation, and that do that with proven results. But it's not only about the light recipe and the crop result, it's also about the economics and the light installation itself. It should be reliable, it should have a long lifetime, and all that, all those aspects. We make sure that by working together with partners, that also is in right place. And for the financing part, that's often a hurdle, that the investment is higher than for high pressure sodium. Of course, you have the energy savings and the better crop results, but sometimes that still makes it difficult to do an investment. And we can help there also with financing solutions for the growers, so that they can start and see the benefits that they can get. Okay, that was it.